Well, I don't know about you guys, but when I saw in the Monday meeting notes on Monday night that the next crowdfunding campaign to follow the Exalted Exigence project was going to be Trinity Continuum Ether, I got quite a bit excited. So, as I've mentioned before, my excitement for Trinity Continuum really kicked off during the Trinity Continuum Anima Kickstarter. And I didn't get to back it at that time. However, I have gone back and pledged in the backer kit, so I will be getting one of those books when they come, Lord willing. Also for the adventure one as well. So this one coming up next, right after a campaign that I'm super excited about, which is the Exalted Exigence book campaign. Backed that one at a pretty ridiculous level, by the way. But when I see that the next thing to go out is going to be Trinity Continuum Ether, I got really excited. Hi, welcome back, by the way. You are listening to Trinity Continuum Airwaves. I'm your host, Corey Reynolds. And I want to say that looking over the field of the Trinity Continuum eras, is that what we call them? Do we call them eras? I'm not just getting into this myself. I'm not really up on the lingo yet, I guess. But looking at all of these eras, I'm going to call them that, okay? I see the Ether era, or this like 1870s, late 19th century setting with, you've got your alchemist stuff, you've got your steampunk stuff, you've got your Victorian literature stuff there. I see that as being probably the one that I am looking most forward to, or maybe just most forward to after Anima, because Anima does look really stinking cool. But anyway, I'm looking back at this, you know, Ether thing, and I've tried to find some information online about exactly what we can expect from Ether. Now, we know the time period, but what exactly is going to be covered here? And looks like there's very little information online. If I'm missing something, please call into the show. Let me know a little bit more about what's going on. By the way, we have a new call-in number. Phone lines are open. And the call-in number for the show is 678-369-3214. Now, I know I said in the first episode that I wasn't going to look into how to get some sort of number that you could call in and leave a message, but I very quickly changed my mind on that. And so anyway, we now have a call-in number. That number is 678-369-3214. So if you know more about Trinity Continuum Ether, give me a call and let me know what in the world is going on with this thing. But this is what I was able to find from a little bit of a slip by Matthew Dawkins on one of these forums or Reddit or something around there, or maybe it was even in the Onyx Path forum. He said that it would be Martians, that there would be some War of the Worlds type content. He mentioned the fact that characters would be able to make changes to their own bodies, that we would see Jekyll and Hyde type stuff, and also that we would see things like Moriarty, which I'm guessing that also includes Sherlock Holmes, and other Victorian era literature characters. They mentioned that the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen would be essentially perfect for this type of game. And so that makes me really excited. I mean, not only do you have Martians invading or something, how in the world are they going to make that fit with all the other stuff that we know from Trinity? I'm not sure. I'm super excited to see how they do it. I'm just, you know, I'm personally very excited by the title, Ether. I am a big fan of the concept of the ether, or that fluid by which light travels. It was a staple of physics for a very, very long time before Einstein came along and tried to shoot it down after the results of the Michelson-Morley experiment in the 1890s. And so anyway, I am a super fan of this idea of ether. It is making a comeback nowadays. We have lots of scientific theories and terminology that is used for the ether since Einstein said there was no such thing. We have to make up a lot of new names for it. So whenever you hear words like zero point energy or vacuum energy or even something kind of weird like the Dirac C, whenever you hear those sorts of things, those are modern attempts to bring ether back into the equation. And so I have always been a super fan of this. I'm a big science nerd. I was a physics and astronomy major in college, and so I absolutely love this stuff. I think that we've made some big departures from good science back about 100 years ago. And as a result, that's why we don't have things like flying cars and floating skateboards these days, because we forgot about the ether. So in my mind, when we're looking back at the hopefully what is a very super sciencey period of the Trinity Continuum, and it does seem like that's what we're gonna see. We're gonna see a lot more steampunk super science type stuff. I'm looking for some really cool inventions that take that make use of some funky physics and create some really fantastical play in that era. We don't have any idea of, like, you know, are they going to be talents that are the player characters? Is going to be something similar to inspired from adventure, but maybe with some new sort of subcategories, like maybe, you know, body modification or alchemist or something like that. I don't know. If you're listening to this and you do know and you want to spill the beans on what's going to be in this era, please give me a call, 678-369-3214. I would love to hear from you. So I've been tearing into the Aberrant book this week. Like I said in the last episode, I was getting the book in the mail like that day or the day after or something like that. And I've been reading through there. I absolutely love the history chapters at the beginning. I actually would have loved for something like that to have been in the Trinity Continuum core book. Now, I understand why they're kind of, you know, they kind of made that one a little bit more vanilla flavored or whatnot. And there is a huge section in the Trinity Continuum core book that has all of these newspaper clippings and articles and emails and all this other kind of thing that are supposed to set a mood, set the stage for adventures and whatnot. But I just love the timeline of what's going on in Aberrant with the destruction of the Galatea space station, you know, the firemen coming along, and then the Sao Paulo blast, and all these kinds of things that really are really do a good job of just world building us into the world of 2028. Project Utopia and all that kind of stuff. It's phenomenal information. I am deep into the chapter, the insight chapter about all of the different continents of the world and the different nations and what's going on there. And I'm very much enjoying reading that. Cannot wait to get into character creation and start seeing how the abilities of these aberrants are going to differ so greatly from the talents in the core book. And since the cover says, "What would you do with the power of a god?" I'm expecting that there are going to be some pretty awesome powers in there. Maybe even stacking up kind of favorably to my other favorite superhero type games in Exalted. So I'm looking to see how Aberrant is really kind of taking the place maybe of like an Exalted modern. So that's what I'm looking forward to as I read through in there. Also, the Ion book is coming to my house today, so I cannot wait to get into that one as well. As I stated, I was a big Ion fan. I never played it, but read it and loved it back in the 90s. And so that part, I've been just chomping at the bit, waiting for that one to come. Indie Press Revolution's a little slower on their shipping than Studio 2, so it's only coming in the mail today. But I'm ultra excited to see what in the world is going on there. But as I said, we do have a new call-in number for the show, and I have let slip this number in the circles that I deal in before even it was released to you guys on the episode, on the Discord for our Exalted show, The Deliberative. I've let slip some of these, some of the call-in numbers, because we have a new one for that show as well. And that has this show to thank for it, because I was like, hey, this is so cool, I'm going to do one for The Deliberative also. But anyway, so people know about the call-in number. Now you know about the call-in number, 678-369-3214. And we're going to go to the phone lines and see what kinds of comments and questions and whatnot people are making. So let's see here. Line one, go ahead.
Hey, Corey, this is Rachel. Are you in the basement right now? Because it is bedtime for the kids, and we have six of them, and I'd really appreciate it.
Okay, that sounds like a wrong number. Let's go to line two.
Hi, Corey. I am completely new to the Trinity Continuum game, and I'm trying to get a feel for this. Would it be possible for you to explain a little bit more about how the paths play out whenever you're creating characters? I'm used to, you know, your basic class-based systems, or even Exalted, where you have the different types of exalts and everything, and your everything fits in a little bit easier. This seems very wide open to me. Help me understand that a bit more. That would be fantastic, sir. Much appreciated.
Okay, well, a question about paths. I like that color a little bit better. Let's see. So the paths in Trinity Continuum, I think, are actually a very interesting, unique concept. Well, maybe not unique in the realm of tabletop role-playing games. In fact, it's similar maybe to what you might be familiar with in Pathfinder. In first edition, in the Ultimate Campaign Guide, there was a pretty big section of how you can kind of roll up or design history for your character. It gave you a lot of random rolling tables and things like that. They reproduced it was slightly different version of that in the second edition Game Mastery Guide for Pathfinder, second edition. But the idea is that you're essentially walking through the various eras of your character's life as you're building the character. So you come up with your concept, and then you need to think of three different paths that your character has walked up until this point. One of them being the origin path, that could be referring to how you were brought up, or maybe just some things that happened in your early life. And that path that you're either going to create or pick from one of the many ones that they've created for you in the book, and those are very helpful, by the way, but those are also generic enough that you could fit them into almost any character concept, but that origin path is going to give you some connections. It's going to give you some skills that you can be able to choose from as you're allocating skills for your character, and it's going to give you some edges that you'll also be able to allocate when you get ready to allocate edge dots. And so each one of the paths that you create, whether it's the origin one, the role one, which is kind of what you're currently doing, your job or how you define yourself right now, and the society path, which is one of the world-spanning organizations that you're able to belong to. The Trinity Continuum core book lists quite a few of those. There are more in other Trinity Continuum eras and things like that. Each one of those paths is going to provide you with some connections, and that's broken down into a community, a group of people that you know that you might be able to get your foot in the door with. This is more of a role-playing kind of a category. There's not really like points or purchase or spending associated with this. It's just, if your origin path was something like middle class suburbanite, then a community that you belong to might be a group of employees that once worked for a grocery store chain or something like that. And so you're able to then call on that community in role-playing situations where you're like, well, we need some food really quickly. Who can we call? Well, I know some people in the grocery store business. And it's just giving you kind of a foot in the door as you're going and checking that out. Like I said, it's more role-playing based than anything else. The other two connections that you choose from each path are a little bit more game mechanic-y. You have to spend a use of the path in order to make use of those things. And one of those is the contact. So for each path, each of your three paths, you will have one contact. So for that middle-class suburbanite, your contact may be your baseball coach. And that baseball coach, who's maybe a good friend of yours, again, this ties into backstory. Remember, these paths are all about backstory. So that baseball coach, he may have all kinds of abilities when it comes to doing research or maybe just helping out in a firefight or a fist fight or something like that. And you're able to essentially roll your path rating plus an attribute to see if you can tap into that contact to get him to come help you or help you over the phone or something like that. And they have stats associated with them based on how leveled up that contact is. And as you add points to your path, as you proceed through the game, you'll be able to build out those contacts to be a little bit more substantial when it comes to these things that they're good at. So you can call on that person to help you out in a pinch. It's like a phone a friend sort of a thing. And then there's the access benefit that each one of these paths provide. And I think that is actually probably like the coolest thing with each of these paths. And that's another thing that you have to roll. You have to roll your path dots plus an attribute. And if you get a success, then you're able to have access to some normally closed off to the public type of a place. So maybe going back to the middle class suburbanite again, he might have access to a grocery store after hours. You know, especially if the community that he picked was like the employees of the grocery store, they might unlock the door for him and let him in the middle of the night in order to get something that he very, very much needs, like Neosporin or I don't know, something like that. I'm just throwing out crazy examples, but you understand what I'm saying. So when you put these things kind of in a graph or something, you have community, contact, and access. The community does not require you to roll or spend anything. The contact and access both require you to actually sort of spend a use of this thing, to roll it to see if you get it. So you've got that matrix, the do I have to roll or not matrix, community, no, contact, yes, access, yes. And then there's another matrix of is it specified or not? And so the community that you choose with each path is actually specified. You pick which community you want to have this inroad with. The contact is specified. You have to pick a particular contact that you want to have access to. And then the access one is actually not specified. You're able to, in the heat of the moment, as you look at things, as you're playing the game, you might then think, okay, how can my path of middle-class suburbanite help me gain access to something that we need here? You know, it would be really great if we could get into a grocery store, or if the coach of my team, who was a dentist, could let me into the dentist's office late at night, or something like that, right? So you don't actually have to specify what the access is. Those you come up with creatively during play. So it's kind of an interesting, you know, it's an interesting little matrix here of which ones do you roll for and which ones do you have to specify up front. And the only one that you have to both roll for and specify is the contact. And the other two are a little interesting. But anyway, so that's what you're doing. You're just using this to flesh out your character. Like I said, the books provide lots of examples for you. A lot of those are generic, so you can just kind of pick them and slot them in to what you're already working on. But if you want to make something... if you want to make something custom for the game, it's not hard to do that, because all you're really doing is picking out your community and your contact. You're picking out which four skills would be associated with that path that you've created. And then you're just picking a couple of edges, skill edges that would be associated with that path that you've created. So there's really no way to kind of like, I guess there might, you might say, okay, yeah, there is a way to min-max the system or whatever, but really it's just a way of describing these background elements that you're building into your character. And then those are going to be used to help you, you know, flesh out your character's stats with his skills and with his edges and all that kind of stuff, so that those very mechanical aspects of your character sheet are tied very directly to elements of your character's backstory that you've picked out. In other words, just it's just a way to tie your character's nuts and bolts and numbers and stats to the story, which I think is an extremely good idea. And it goes along with this whole idea that I've always loved with the White Wolf games and now the Onyx Path games, because Onyx Path owns Trinity Continuum. But this idea of creating the concept first and then letting the concept drive the character. If you've played Exalted, as it seems like you have, caller, then you would know that that's the way you make an Exalted character. Come up with a concept, and then you use that to work out all of your stat and charm choices and all that kind of stuff. So it works a lot like that. Again, fabulous system. You know, the Trinity system really comes across as being like fast, just fast and loose, like role-playing based, almost rules light in some ways. But at the same time, it really has a lot of meaty chunks and mechanical chunks that describe these various things where you're rolling dice and you're feeling like you're actually playing a game versus just play and pretend with your friends. I'm always a fan of games that let you actually play a game, roll dice, do things, meet target numbers, versus some of these more rules light systems where you're really just sitting around playing pretend like little girls at a tea party. So I you know, I like this stuff. And so I think this system is brilliant. Anyway, thanks for calling, and I hope you get deeper into the Trinity Continuum. It's my desire to get deeper into it as well. So let's all just learn more about this together and have a great time. Well, that's going to just about wrap it up for this episode, but I want to hear from you. Like I said, the phone lines are open, and the number is 678-369-3214. What do you think about Trinity Continuum Ether? What are your thoughts on the new era that's going to be playable coming out? What do you think about the idea of the ether itself? Does light need a fluid to travel through like sound travels through air and water? Tell me what you think about that. I think that stuff's fascinating. Maybe you don't, but if you've got an opinion on that, send it in. What do you think about the story in Aberrant versus the kind of lack of one in Trinity? Do you like what they've done with Trinity, keeping it light on story, or would you rather it be more like Aberrant? And what do you think about the paths? What are some of your favorite paths that you've created? Tell us about your character. We'd love to hear from you. Again, the number is 678-369-3214. And that'll do it for this episode, and I can't wait to meet you again in the next one.